This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp Inc. Thursday, May the 2nd, Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, Matt Robinson, ready to break down, well, one game, and only one game tonight on this Thursday night, and it's a big one, though. Game 6, Boston and Toronto, the only game on the deck on tap tonight, so we're looking forward to that. But first, we'll look back on last night, and we'll start with another tremendous game in what has been a tremendous series between the Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas Stars. Dallas getting the 3-2 victory in that hockey game, striking for a couple of goals early. It was a wild and frantic first period where it ended 2-2. It did settle down a little bit after that. I thought even in the first period, Dallas had the better of the play. Second period was one of those deals where, and I mentioned this in our group chat, the shots were 17-16 Dallas after the first two periods, but that was not a good example and a good way of showing and describing the way the game was flowing. Because even though Dallas only had one more shot on goal than Vegas, that was pretty much all Dallas in the second period. I mean, they had all the chances. They had multiple power plays. And it was getting to the point where we were all starting to get a little concerned. I mean, for those that like Dallas in the series, and we're all pretty much in that group, that the longer that went without them scoring in the second period, the more murkier and the more worried you got, you know, about the end result of the game for Dallas. But they had a bunch of chances. I mean, Joe Pavelski's series is, in a nutshell, is basically him missing that wide open yawning cage in the second period. I mean, that just tells you where his series has been. But they did finally cash in late in the period. A big goal by Robertson, 3-2 to give them the lead. And then in the third period, I figured Vegas was going to push, and push they did. That was the period where definitely they had the better of the play, the better of the chances, no question about that. It was a little too safe for my liking from Dallas. I would have liked to have seen them, you know, be a little more aggressive, trying to get that insurance goal, not make it so, not make the margin for error as slim as it was. And it was slim, and Vegas had their chances, none more so than the save of the game and probably the save of the series by Jake Oettinger on a breakaway for Chandler Stephenson. Robbed Stephenson with the right pad, stretched out post to post. And right at that moment, I actually felt damn good about Dallas winning and holding on right when I saw it. Saves. It's going to happen. I felt, you know what? This is their game. That save sealed it to me. I mean, I was not as worried, believe it or not, watching the last minute or two unfold after that save. I said, it's meant to be for Dallas after that save. What a spectacular save. And look, he gave up an awful goal, Oettinger, in the first period. The one that he did not hug the post on Carrier's wraparound. That was not a good one by a goalie of his standard, but I think it's safe to say he made amends for it and then some with the save on Stephenson. So huge win for Dallas, 3-2. They're the first home team in this series to win a game. I think they're going to win this series now because I did say that the first home team to win is going to win the series, and now they've got not one but two chances to close things out. Another great game for Wyatt Johnston, 2 points on the night for him. Robertson, a great night. I thought Duchesne had a very solid evening as well. How about Alex Pietrangelo losing his mind in that game too? And I know he was butthurt from Sagan hitting Theodore, his buddy, on defense earlier in the period, but you just can't swing your hand like that and just kabong a guy right in the melon and expect to get away with it. And that's exactly what he was not able to do. 2-minute penalty, horribly undisciplined, horribly selfish penalty, just losing your mind and forgetting about the main goal at that time, helping your team win. You did not help your team win in that scenario. It was a selfish penalty. It was a bad penalty. And it's the one Dallas made him pay for. So Stars take the lead in the series. Matt, it obviously made you a very happy guy.
Yeah, no, it was good to see. Obviously, been a great week with three wins in a row, and kind of breaking the curse on the road team winning. And just in general, Dallas kind of struggling against Vegas at home, dating back to that OT win they had last year in game four, with Joe Pavelski scoring the OT winner. But they've really struggled against Vegas at home. So I think that was a good confidence builder, you know, momentum swing. Not that they didn't have the momentum after the two wins in Vegas, but I think, you know, there was an expectation that, you know, if Vegas wins game five, maybe Dallas gets game six, then they've got that burden on game seven. Like, you know, we can't win at home. You know, we wish we could just play in Vegas, something like that. So it was good to see him get the home win. And yeah, to your point on Ottinger, that second goal was not typically one he gives up. Even when he's struggling, that's typically a save. But my brother Ryan and I both called into the Dallas radio yesterday after the game. They do like an hour of post game, and then they take some calls and questions.
You guys can flaunt that you have more street cred and more credibility and more ability to talk college intelligently because you play the game. You should flaunt that in front of everyone.
Yeah,
there.
For yeah. sure. Yeah. But no, I mean, my point on there was, in my opinion, just based on the series, how Ottinger's looked, especially in the third period and really in every game, he's kind of gotten better as the game goes on. You can look at game one. He did give up four. That fourth goal was a seeing eye shot from the point. You know, there's nothing he can do on that play. But in my opinion, he probably went in the room after that first period when it was tied 2-2 and said, look, if you guys give me the lead for the third period, we'll win this fucking game. And man, that breakaway save with 2.5 minutes left justified that. And Alex kind of talked about it on Twitter. It's, you know, it's given up two, not three, and making sure you're making the saves at the right time. I mean, that couldn't have come at a better time. I do think, I mean, I agree with you in the sense I would have loved to see that insurance goal, maybe a harder push, but I do think they had more of a push than they did in game four, which I did like to see. They did get some chances. They had a couple shots there, even with the empty net. I mean, hence almost closed it out again. And then that I thought Pavelski was going to get the monkey off his back, tried to make a pass. All ended up being okay in the long run. I mean, the team total didn't hit, but at that point, I don't care about that. But yeah, it's good to see. You know, I think the biggest thing for me, I think coming in and really after game two, everyone's like, okay, this team is rolling. They're the best team. Speaking on Vegas, you know, they're deep. They just are outplaying them. Yep. And I really think Dallas, for the most part in the three games, has been the better team. And there's just been signs of, you mentioned the Pietrangelo, like that's two games in a row he's taken an undisciplined penalty. And, you know, if you watch the replay on the Sagan hit, he barely got him. I mean, Theodore to act injured and then be on that same power play, I'm fine with it being a two, but it was even a questionable call at that. I mean, the Pietrangelo, I don't think it was worth a five. I'm glad they brought it down to a two as just a.
That's where the Dallas fans have to not boo that. I mean, that was definitely just a 2-minute penalty. I mean,
I know
they were pissed,
ref,
you suck and all that, but that's where you step in, Matt, and tell us all the time. There's a section of Dallas Stars fans that they couldn't tell you a thing about the proper rules of hockey. That they love their team, I mean, they love the sport, but they just can't give you the nuances and the nut and bolts of the way the rules work.
And I think for the average fan that doesn't know the rules, they see blood and they assume that that's an auto four, which it's only the case with a high stick. I mean, I do think looking at it from a big picture, if Sagan's penalty was a two, then I would make an argument that maybe the Pietrangelo was worse than that and very intentional, where I think Sagan was just trying to make a hit. Like Pietrangelo, like that, just a dumb play, to be honest. And you know, cup teams don't do that. You know, he wasn't making plays like that as often last year, although you mentioned the Edmonton slash. So I guess it does happen at some time, at some points for a cup team. But yeah, I think outside of Jack Eichel, I think the last three games, Vegas just hasn't looked, there hasn't been really any scary moments. They've scored some big goals, the Stone goal again, but like they're just, I mean, Marchessault has been all right. You know, he's had a couple shots from the hash marks, but there just hasn't really been like, oh shit, they're really dominating. They've had chances, but Dallas has had chances as well. So yeah, feeling good. I'd really love for them to close it out on Friday, not have to deal with a game seven. I've already lost a couple years off my life just with this series so far. But I think they've got to be feeling confident. They've got to be feeling good about their game. I don't think any of those three games they left, man, we got lucky getting that win. I feel like they knew, you know, they were in control of the game for the most part. And another thing that's great to see is, you know, they give up that first goal, they bounce back,
yep.
They end up taking the lead, they give up the second goal, they bounce back. You know, they're not a team
good shifts that, after goals against. Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That to answer to Stone's goal, I mean, I watched it. I was like, great, here we go. Game one all over again. Early penalty, Stone gets a goal. Like, it was almost like the exact play.
I was happy. I had Vegas to score in the first period, so yeah. I like that. But, yeah.
And then, you know, they get that quick turnover. You know, Wyatt gets that quick up. Stankoven, unbelievable pass. Dodonov puts it right in the perfect spot. You know, now it's 1-1. Like, that's the kind of response you need, because you're not going to play with a lead the whole time in the playoffs. It's never going to happen. So that adversity, battling that adversity is good to see. But, yeah, overall, you know, good game. Nice to get the win at the AAC. I'm sure people are happy it was an early game, so they could go out a little bit and celebrate. But, you know, big game on Friday, and I feel like it's just as much of a must win as maybe game three. Got to get it done. So it's going to be, you know, Vegas is going to throw everything they've got. But, you know, I think Dallas has the capability to get it done.
Matt does not want any part of a game seven, it sounds like. He's saying get it done tomorrow night in Vegas in game six, where they're already, of course, 2-0 so far in this series. Alex, obviously, we're on the Stars, and you are happy with that result. And I love the way Alex is trying to get the AAC faithful to make noise in the third period out there on Twitter saying, stand up, don't sit on your hands, help this team bring this thing home. How do you think they did?
They did a good job. They did a wonderful job. And something clicked with me watching that game in that first period, watching Dallas, especially, you know, heading into that second as well, where this is a team that's making that turn. Like I said, they're getting stronger and stronger as the series goes on. But they got a little stagnant in that second period. Like I said, they were controlling the pace of play, but they weren't doing enough to really push the tempo completely forward. And that's why I said that on Twitter, because it reminded me watching the Hawks in the 2010 dynasty, where they had those games where that was, it's important to make that shift at home in game five. That was a Hawks team that always took care of business in six games, always took care of business at home. And they had those shifts where there were games where things slowed down, but all of a sudden you had to make those big plays. And it wasn't just on offense. It's not just about getting in front and scoring a goal at that point. It's about making the big timely saves, timely hits, staying out of the penalty box. They did all of that in the third period. Everything but score, which that was a bit unfortunate. Somebody who grabbed live over, missing the empty nets and those kind of things, that stuff still has to be rectified. But as far as taking care of things in their back end, it was fantastic. As far as the crowd, given the proper energy throughout that third period, they did a wonderful job. So it was a fantastic win for Dallas. And now, yeah, you have to take care of business in game six. You can't open up the door of doubt again and have game seven go back to the AAC with a team that is the defending Stanley Cup champion. This is how it works. You disarm, you disable, then you neutralize your opponent. You got them down on the ground right now, 3-2. Even though they're going back home, you have all the momentum on your side. So this is where Dallas has to play A-plus hockey for 60 minutes, take care of business, go on to the next round, and get ready for Colorado. I think they can do that. I think they have the horses to do that. I think Ottinger is in good enough form, especially as we've seen him get better in third periods, get better later in games as this series goes on. Weather the storm in the first 20 minutes.
He can't be better in third periods. Not a single goal allowed in five games in third periods in this series. Yep.
So if he can start weathering the storm in the first 20 minutes of play, not give up that soft first goal, he's going to be in good shape, and this team is going to be in good shape. So I do feel confident about Dallas moving forward. I think they take care of this in game six.
I'm almost at the point now, and look, I've been agitated with some of these early goals that Ottinger gives up, but I'm at the point now where if it happens again in game six, he gives up an early goal, and if it's a soft one like the Carrier goal last night, I'm going to be like, ah, you know what? I forgive him because I know what's coming in the third period. The man dials it up. He puts his game face on. He ramps his focus up, and he's just a brick wall, and he's been that way in the third period. He saved his best for last. He's been Vanessa Williams of the series here for the Dallas Stars. He's been absolutely tremendous in the third period, and that's money time. We always talk about in the football games, fourth quarter is money time. NBA, fourth quarter, money time. Baseball, you know, you got to have that big save in the ninth inning from your closer. In hockey, the third period is where you make your bread and where you get the job done. It's getting it done time, the third period. And Jake Ottinger has been getting it done in the third period of this series. Nary a goal allowed so far in the third period in this series. The other game last night, I'm not going to go into too much detail here. It's just Edmonton was better. LA did the same shit Winnipeg did. Too many penalties, too much time in the box, and you can't do that against a team like Edmonton. Edmonton made them pay. Power play ate them alive again, and they end up getting a 4-3 win, I should say. Kempe did score with about a couple minutes left. Unfortunately, we had a couple of small live over shots, and none of them cashed. 7.5 fell short, 8.5 fell short, but it is what it is. There were opportunities. I don't blame LA. I blame Jim Hiller. Jim Hiller had multiple chances to get David Rittich out of there, and for some reason, he's fucking around and wasting time. They had the puck in the Edmonton zone twice, and he's waiting to get the goalie out. That's a bad job. He should have done it right away. It was ridiculous that the first time he pulled David Rittich down 4-2 initially was 2.5 minutes left. Not these days, man. You pull that fucker out in 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes left. Give yourself as much time as possible. He mismanaged it. He botched the whole when do we pull the goalie situation last night, Jim Hiller. It was a bad job there. And yes, Big Civ Dave came out to play. That goal set the tone for the night because LA was having a good first period there. That's a terrible goal to give up by David Rittich in the first period. That Kane goal had no business going in. None. Zero. And he gives up that goal. It's a bad goal. And right at that moment, I've said this in our group chat. If I'm Rob Blake, I'm looking in the mirror and saying, how the fuck did we get to this point? How did I, as the GM of this team, allow it to get to this point where my season's on the line, I'm facing elimination, and this guy's my starting goaltender? This guy is my, David Rittich is my starting goaltender with my life on the line, with my season on the line, needing a victory. That's a bad job. That's a bad job, and that's obviously number one focus for LA going into the offseason is figure out the goaltending, because whether it was Talbot and his inconsistency, whether it's David Rittich, who, again, you can't trust in a big spot, you know, it's just you got to fix it. You need better goaltending than that. You need a duo that's more trustworthy and reliable than trotting out a Talbot and a Rittich in a series like this against a team like Edmonton. So Edmonton was just better. The power play ate LA alive. Kudos to them, but I will say this for Edmonton. They found ways to defend and hold on to leads back-to-back. 1-0 in L.A., 4-2. They didn't give L.A. much in that third period. Man, does that bode well for Edmonton moving forward, second round and beyond. Alex, Edmonton, moving on.
We can go all the way back to October when we saw this goalie depth chart and we saw Cam Talbot 1 and Phoenix Copley 2, and we said, you're probably going to have to make some kind of a move toward the trade deadline to get better goaltending if you're the Kings, because you have a good enough team overall to be in the playoffs. You probably don't have the goaltending to get through a series. Then Cam Talbot gets hot and actually has a pretty good first half and becomes an all-star. And then we say, well, you're still probably going to need to get some backup help, because can you trust Copley down the stretch? Copley tears his ACL. David Rittich, who was the third string goalie from the beginning of the year, comes up. We go, you're definitely going to have to get some goaltending help because you can't trust David Rittich. Rob Blake sat on his hands, did absolutely fucking nothing. And then it came back to bite him in the ass. So we were right from the very beginning. You know, if you had a better goaltender that was in there with Talbot in the months of February, March, and April, here's the thing. You probably have home ice advantage against Edmonton, or you're probably maybe even playing better hockey to where you aren't even facing Edmonton. So you can just start from that and then trickle down to where here we are in the series. You couldn't get any offense rolling at the proper times. Like I said, taking a bunch of dumb penalties against a power play that can murder any other team on the planet. And you can't get timely saves from either one of your two goaltenders. So it's an absolute mismanagement from Blake, from Hiller, from everybody. And I've heard nothing from Kings fans as soon as that game ended. Yeah, it's time to clear house. it's not the players. I feel really bad for Drew Doughty and Anze Kopitar, these veterans who are only going to have a couple of years left to really make a true run at a cup. And the players, they played their asses off. They did all they could do. It's not on Riddick's fault. He can't change the fact he's a mid-goalie. Cam Talbot can't change the fact that he can only play for half a season. You can't blame it on them, but you can blame Hiller for it. For like I said, not being able to pull his goalie at the right time, knowing the situation, actually having momentum on your side to tie that game up. You can blame Rob Blake for not making the moves at the trade deadline when they were goaltenders. Oh, okay, so you couldn't get Linus Allmark out of Boston. There were other goaltenders available that were definitely upgrades for Riddick and maybe even upgrades for Talbot as far as coming into playing in the playoffs. You did none of that. So now, here you go. Go golf.
There you go. Yeah, good riddance. You're right, for not addressing this better than that. 100% true. And you're right. I couldn't believe what I was watching at the end of that. Like, there was 3.5 minutes left. They clearly had possession and control in the Edmonton zone, and Riddick somehow was still in the net. And then eventually Edmonton gets the puck like 30 seconds later, and he's still out of the net. And then they have to wait till they get possession again. Then they finally take him out. It was just,
and you know what? And see, this tells you this. As long as he's been in the league, right? Well, he's been in the league about 6-7 years. He's not even have the wherewithal enough. A veteran goalie would have skated to the bench.
Yeah. I'm not even looking for the call. Yeah.
He's not even paying enough attention to go, hey, you're not calling me. I'm skating at least to the blue line. I'm yelling at my coaches. It's time for me to get off the ice.
Yeah, I agree. It's just an awful handling of it. Matt, what did you think there, Edmonton? See, Alex is so bad, he kicked himself out of the studio. But what did you think? Oilers advancing.
Yeah, I kind of figured that was going to be the case. I do think LA kind of stuck around a little bit, you know, showed some fight. They had the 2-1 lead. I think once it was 2-2, I was kind of like, yeah, I think it's Edmonton's night to close it out. Obviously they wanted to do it at home. That's not a short flight. So, you know, they give up that game and then have to fly back to LA for one game. That just adds a lot of travel, lengthens the series. Now they're going to get some rest ahead of, likely Vancouver. I mean, I guess Nashville's still got a shot, but I think Vancouver closes it out tomorrow night. But Vancouver is kind of in shambles right now as well. So, I think Edmonton will take a couple days off, probably come into that, Vancouver series feeling good. They may even fly out tomorrow night after, or I guess probably on Saturday morning. If Vancouver does close it out, Vancouver will be traveling from Nashville. Edmonton will get to town probably before them, you know, get a day of practice there. So, I don't have too much to add. I think Edmonton was the better team throughout the series. I think LA showed some life. It was similar to that New York Islanders Carolina series. Like, Edmonton was clearly the better team. LA, you know, put up the fight that they could fight. They're just not really a real contender yet. And when, as Alex mentioned, when you have sort of mid goaltending and you're playing a team like Edmonton, it's going to be tough to win a 7-game series. You might get one, which they ended up getting that one game. They stayed close in a couple games, but then there was a couple blowouts. So pretty much what I expected out of that series.
No doubt. Eric De La Rose in the chat, by the way, great job by him yesterday on the show. Awesome. Awesome stuff from Eric. And I shouldn't complain too much about losing the live overs, because other than that, I hit everything else side and total in that game. Kings to score in the first period over, both teams to score in the first period, the full game over, which was my best bet. So I should, and Oilers team total over as well for the full game. So I shouldn't complain too much. I shouldn't be, but still the live overs were there. They were there to be won, and Jim Hiller's idiocy with how to handle taking the goalie out ruined it, quite honestly.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture, and the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Honestly. Anyway, on we go. Matt's got to head out in a few minutes. So we're just going to go right to him and get his thoughts here on Game 6 tonight. Boston Bruins, Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs minus 115, home favorites. 5.5 the total in this game. Boston up 3-2. You got a team that choked last year, down up 3-1. Did we trust this team? Do we trust Toronto, though, to win a damn home game in the Stanley Cup playoffs at this point? So who the fuck do you trust is the biggest question you have to ask yourself going into this game. Matt, what are you doing here with Bruins Leafs?
Yeah, so I like the first period over in this game. As far as a pregame bet, it's basically even money. I think both teams have the motivation to push. Toronto doesn't want to risk going down early at home. I think that's sort of a death wish for them. And then, you know, Boston's got to respond to that loss in game five. So I think both teams will be, you know, pushing as opposed to a typical elimination game where you might get two teams kind of feeling each other out. I think both of them want that first goal. So I'll definitely be on that. I lean Toronto here. I mean, maybe part of it's my heart that I want a game seven. And I would just love to see, you know, Boston kind of gripping their sticks hard. Toronto's coming back in town for game seven. So I lean Toronto here. Plus 105 doesn't like, plus 100, plus 105 doesn't like crush it for me. So I even may wait to bet that live if it goes up a little bit or if Boston happens to score one early and I feel like Toronto's playing well, I may try and bet them down 1-0. But yeah, I think my only real pregame bet here is going to be the first period over. But I lean Toronto. I would like a little better odds to trust them. You know, no Matthews in the lineup, other question marks throughout, but I do think, I think I saw Wool is back.
Wool and Swayman.
Yeah. I thought Wool played great in game five. So if he can continue that, I think Toronto's got a good chance. So, yeah.
Yep, there we go. And like I say, even after Jeremy Swayman lost for the first time against Toronto this season in Game 5, Jim Montgomery sticking with him. The numbers are still good. Did not go back to Linus Ullmark, so still no alternation. Not going back to that after the Game 5 performance. All right, we'll do the we'll just get Matt out on this note, and then Alex and I will talk about Bruins and Leafs more in depth. But before we wrap it up and send Matt on his way, Matt, here you go. Bargain bin special of the night if you got one, and best bet, take it away.
Yeah, so for my bargain bin, I'm going with a player on the top line for Toronto. I'm seeing it at plus 400 to score a goal tonight. I think Max Domi is a prime late series type of player. You know, maybe he ends up with a couple assists. You can probably take a point prop on him and get some decent odds as well. But playing on that top line with Bertuzzi and Marner, I think he's definitely got the option to chip in tonight. And he's a gamer late in the series. He did it in Dallas. He's done it the entirety of his career. He's just a playoff-built player. So Max Domi, anytime goal scorer, that's my bargain bin. And then for my best bet, I'll just stick with the one pregame bet I like the most, and that's going to be the first period over in the Toronto-Boston game tonight.
There you go. So Max Domi, anytime goal scorer, and you get a good price on that. I know he's a lot playmaker, but, you know, I think trying to find a goal himself, he might do that, especially now with Austin Matthews out. Max Domi, goal scorer prop for Matt with his bargain bin special of the night, and Boston-Toronto over 1.5 first period for his best bet. All right, Matt, off you go. Salt mines call. Yeah.
Thanks for having me, boys, for the short show. Good luck with the games tonight, and hopefully we get some more exciting games this weekend. Want to see some extensions in these series, except the Dallas one,
except
of course.
Dallas. Yeah, of course. No doubt.
All right, see you, boys.
All right, cheers, buddy. We'll catch you later. All right, Matt Robinson, off to a meeting now for work. All right, Bruins and Leafs. I'm going to come around and talk about my this is a tricky game, Alex. For me, it is, from a side perspective. Bruins, there's some bats in the belfry. There's some skeletons in their closet after what happened against Florida last year. And I find it to be very, very similar. And by the way, I had to change the price on that. When I put the label up on the screen, the Leafs were favored, but obviously we've seen a move to Boston with the Austin Matthews news becoming official that he's out again. So Boston's now a minus 120 road favorite here in Toronto for game six tonight. But it's just funny that game five last year against Florida, they lose in overtime. They get outplayed. The other night, game five against Toronto, they get outplayed. They lose in overtime. It's crazy, the parallels. And it's got that feel to me like, is this going to happen again? Is history actually going to repeat itself here with this Boston team? So I'm not rushing to lay it, especially now, minus 120 with the Bruins. I can't touch Toronto, though. Six straight home playoff losses in that building And you know they're going to get tight as a drum, especially if Boston scores first. And, you know, the wine and cheese crowd comes to play, sitting on their hands, no noise, giving the team no adrenaline, no energy, you know, when things start to go bad. So this is a very tough game. And, yes, they had the one, you know, win one for the Gipper without Matthews. And a lot of times that does happen the first time without your star player, in this case, Austin Matthews. The team can rally. The team can step up and win. But asking them to do it a second straight game is a lot more difficult, especially when you've got Boston and Jim Montgomery kind of saying how, you know, reading his team the riot act for not being ready and focused and prepared to close out that series and letting Toronto just take it to them. I mean, we were on the BetCast Tuesday night when that game was going on. Toronto just looked like they were the more urgent team right from the beginning. So can Boston finally put their foot down and end a series? That remains to be seen. I don't think I want to bet on it to happen, but I also know I don't necessarily want to bet Toronto here to extend this series to game seven when the home ice has just been non-existent. It's not just six straight home playoff losses for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's like 3-15 or something in their last 18 home playoff games in the Keith era. That's really bad. That's really, really bad to be that porous on your home ice, which is supposed to be a strength, not a weakness for you. I mean, that's just an awful track record. So it's a really tough game. What I would think of is, again, we've seen now an overtime game in game five. Normally, I don't love the idea of back-to-back OT games, but I could clearly see overtime tonight. I'm going to sprinkle on the draw. I'm going to sprinkle on over 5.5 because it is an elimination game. And I know this has been a tight, well-goaltended series. Swayman's been awesome. And Joe Woll in his first start in game five was tremendous. He was Swayman's equal in that game. Now, he wasn't as busy as Jeremy Swayman, but he still had to make a ton of big saves. The save on Frederick in the third period where he stretched the pad out. What about that shot in the slot early in overtime that Charlie Coyle had? What a save that was by Joseph Woll. Without that save, it's season over. And we're not even talking about game six here in Toronto tonight. So it's tough to say over 5.5 to say you love it when it's been such a good goaltending series. And obviously it was a very low scoring game five. But I do think there's potential for this to open up a little bit more, you know, in game six, because we did see a boatload of chances in game five. Puck just didn't go in. The goaltending was good. Can it be that good again? I think with the chances generated, it's reasonable to assume we might see a few more goals here tonight. So the only things I've got, the small bets I have pregame are the draw and over 5.5. If you want the bet I really like in this game, here it is for you. We've talked about this trend, right? Team that lost the previous game, getting off to a hot start, being the team that's on the front foot, showing a little more urgency. My favorite bet in this game, it's Boston to score in the first period. Minus 145 at BetMGM. It's not the worst price. I've seen better prices for a team to score in the first period, but I've also seen minus 180, minus 190, you know, at times to bet a team to score in the first period. So that's what I like the most here. Bruins in the first period to score a goal. Minus 145. This trend's been great. Look at last night. Vegas off a loss. What did they do? Score in the first period. LA off a loss. Now, they needed a fortuitous bounce, but still scored in the first period off a loss. This has been a very, very good profitable betting angle repeatedly here in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Oh, and by the way, you look back to this particular series, you know, in not the one game was scoreless after 20 minutes, but Boston did score in the first period of the last time they were in Toronto. So, yeah, that's the one I like. I don't trust the Bruins fully for 60 minutes, but I feel very confident they get on the board in the first 20 minutes tonight at Scotiabank. So, Bruins to score first period, minus 145, plus the smaller draw and over 5.5 looks for me here. Alex, what do you think here? Game six, Bruins, Leafs.
Yeah, so it's interesting you talk about, you know what demons are going to be, you know, exiled here in the next two games. Is it going to be Boston getting over the collapse of last year, or the Toronto getting over just their colossal failures ad nauseum at home? And if I had to trust on one, it would more than likely be Boston getting past their demons. Now, I don't have to take a side here. If they win tonight, I have plus 550 in hand. If they don't win, I have both sides in hand in game seven, and I have the series ending 6-7. So sides for me are done in this series. All I'm looking at now, the total, I have a little bit of 5.5. I grabbed it earlier at minus $1.05. Like you said, with it being an elimination game. I'm also going back to the well with, and this is, we're getting better prices with this because of it being a well goaltended series. But I like that there will be an empty net goal in this game. It's yes, plus 130 at BetMGM. But I also like that it's the Bruins to score an empty net goal, plus 450. I mean, that's absolute dynamite prices if we're talking about a 3-2 Boston lead late, a 4-2 Boston lead late, to be cashing big plus money on both of those items. So I will be on those actually heavier than the full side, full game total. And I will grab some of that play that you have as well. I found minus 145 also with Boston to score a goal in the first period. So basically going over a half. I can kind of lay a price like that because I'm secured at least some bigger plus money despite how the outcome goes within the next two games. So those are the things I'm looking at there. And there's two things I have circled. One player I have, I should say, circled for my bargain.
Absolutely. And obviously, we only have one game to choose from here tonight as far as the bargain bin special is concerned. This is Bailey, who's in our chat most shows. This is probably one of the best comments I've ever seen him have on YouTube right here. I am here at Scotiabank where the wine and cheese will be flowing all night. Very well said. Very well said. You know, maybe one night they will surprise me and you'll hear the roof blow off the place. I'm tired of waiting for it.
I just hope that everybody keeps the peace if this thing goes south. I know it's been a tough week in Toronto. We've seen Drake take an L, and now the Leafs are getting pushed to the brink of elimination yet again. Take it easy. I know it's been frustrating watching this team and going through all the turbulence and the Marner issues. And Nylander has headaches, and Matthews has an illness, but.
We don't know.
Yeah. Right. They're dealing with things. They're going through things. But just keep the peace. I know there's gonna be some Boston people want to agitate you guys and stuff. But just you know, keep it civil this evening, win or lose.
Yeah. Exactly. And like I say, we'll see how it goes. It's a fascinating. It's a must watch event. Like this is franchise altering. Never mind if it gets to game seven, which would even be more franchise altering. Even this would be franchise altering. If this gets to game seven, Toronto's on the precipice of doing something they've rarely ever done in 57 years, you know. And then if Boston is one step closer to back-to-back years of just utter disaster and collapses. So, you know, that's what makes this the fascinating watch. It's why we love sports, games like this, where the storylines are aplenty. Who's going to step up? Who's going to fold, you know, in the big moments?
You're right. At least the next 3 years of each franchise will be defined by the next two games.
Yeah.
Based on what happens, that's how impactful this game six and a possible game seven would be. Right.
Exactly. No doubt. And by the way, we always have to seem to, I should be doing this because it's a yo-yo. If you live in the States and you're trying to follow where these games are night in and night out, like one night it's a ESPN doubleheader, one night it's a TBS/TNT doubleheader, one night there'll be one game on Turner, one game on ESPN. So, you've really got to keep your eyes on, you know, where these games are, but it is TBS tonight. They're back to Turner tonight for game six, Bruins and Leafs, and you're going to get Kenny Albert and Brian Boucher calling this game.
This might be
tonight.
The highest rated anything on TBS in a very long time.
Look, the deck's clear. I think there is a big NBA game six or Knicks tonight.
I'm just saying, what is TBS shown in the last 20 years that would draw the ratings that this game would get tonight? So
that's right. Oh, and Bucks Pacers. So there is a doubleheader of NBA playoffs. But for TBS, they still have an opportunity, I think, here to get a pretty good number here and a pretty good rating as far as this game goes, with especially original six. There's no question. So TBS tonight for Bruins and Leafs. Game seven, by the way, it's been announced that if there is a game seven in Boston, it's that Saturday night, 8:00 p.m. primetime slot on ABC with Sean McDonough and Ferraro and Emily. So they get game seven if it gets there, ABC, on Saturday night. So that's the way it goes. And by the way, if you're wondering, where's Eddie? Is Eddie Olczyk's usually with Kenny and Brian Boucher? Eddie's in Vegas for tomorrow night with for the Vegas-Dallas game with Johnny Forslund. So they've split them up so that they could, you know, use both of them in different places.
Of course Eddie Olczyk's in Vegas the weekend of the Kentucky Derby. Of course.
It's just an excuse to have him in all the betting places for the Kentucky Derby weekend. Put all his dough down and his cash on all the horses and the Kentucky Oaks on Friday probably too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just works out perfectly there. Yeah. So yeah, Johnny Forslund and Eddie are going to be on the Turner call for game six with Stars and Golden Knights tomorrow night. So that's the way it goes. I'm looking forward to it. As far as props go here for this game, you know, Matthew Nyes, man, I'm going to try to take a shot with him again. I mean, he's been excellent. He finally got rewarded with that huge overtime goal the other night. I like what Matt's thinking. Max Domi looks like a man possessed. His game was spectacular in game five, where he not only, you know, got a point, he was winning every faceoff. He beat Boston like a drum in the faceoff circle in that game. Max Domi has shown me something here, Alex, and I know you got to see him a bit in Chicago, and obviously he used to be on Matt's team as well, the Dallas Stars. He's shown me something here that put back against the wall, he elevates. And those are the guys you got to pay attention to, you know, and maybe say, you know what, I know we only signed this guy for a year, we're cap strung. We have to do something to try to keep him in the fold next year, I think, if you're the Leafs. And whether you lose tonight or not, or the season ends with this series, same with Bertuzzi. These are guys that are on one-year deals. They've been two guys that I think have been noticeable throughout this series for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it would be sad, I think, if you're a Leaf fan to see one or both of them just be here for 1 year and then off they go.
Yeah, and I've been saying it. I said it when Domi was a Hawk. I said it when Domi got moved and ended up in Dallas, and I said it even with this year, with the 1 year deal. I said, this guy has played well enough in my eyes to deserve a contract longer than just 1 year. Yeah. I hope wherever he lands, he gets at least 3 years. I'd love for him to come out to Chicago, to be honest. But, I definitely think he's earned that over these last years. And the fact that he's been able to play in these different spots and have to adapt to slightly different roles over those last couple seasons has shown his versatility and his worth, in my opinion. So, yeah, he's definitely elevated his game. He's a player I like to watch. He's fun to watch. And I think he's certainly earned a lengthier contract coming up.
Yeah, no doubt. It should be interesting to see how this one plays out with the Bruins and the Leafs tonight. Can't wait for it. As far as the props on the Boston side of the equation here tonight, I just had to bring up the line combinations, because as far as I'm concerned, there's not a ton of change here for Boston. It looks like Marchand, Coyle, and Geeky, I think, is actually worth a look again. As long as he's on that top line, there's definitely value on Morgan Geeky in my mind. DeBrusk has been quiet. He's been good against the Leafs, but I thought the last game in particular, it was not a great game for him. I maybe buy low on him having an impact here tonight for the Boston Bruins. Trent Frederick's had a bunch of chances offensively, so maybe even a shot with him on the third line. And there is a Bruin that I have now for Max Domi. I like point. I would take a shot with over 1.5 points too for Max Domi, worth a look, I think, tonight. But there is a Bruin that I've got circled for a bargain bin special of the night. We're getting creative here a little bit. There's only one game, you know, we're not exactly sure how it's going to play out, but we're going to go for the gusto, because we did cash one of these last night, these type of player props that I'm going to use in my bargain bin here in this game. So hopefully lightning will strike twice here tonight. So we'll save that for the bargain bin coming up. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. We appreciate it very much. Sign up and subscribe. Patreon.com/iceguys. Just $10 per month. Now, we have not announced yet our next set of betcasts, and there's a reason for that. Give us a damn schedule first. Yeah. So it's going to be a schedule on the fly, you know, on the fly, probably Saturday, Sunday we'll announce it, because that's probably when, you know, the second round schedule will start to get announced. What I will say is that we will have, and it'll be a free for all betcast. It won't be Patreon only. It'll be free for all. We will have a betcast Monday or Tuesday next week. We will have one at the beginning of the second round. That will be our next betcast, either Monday or Tuesday next week. We're just waiting to see how the schedule unfolds and what's going to be on Monday, what's going to be on Tuesday, but we will have one on one of those nights, and then schedule after that to be determined. But if you want access to the Patreon exclusive live betcast, the rest of the playoffs, the only way to tune in and join us on the stream is signing up patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. You'll also get our daily sides, totals, and player props posted on the page each and every day, goalie charts, totals charts, and more. So sign up and subscribe, $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. And also check out the Ice Guys store. Get your gear and your merch over at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
This is probably one of the best weekends to shop at iceguys.myspreadshop.com. Before the show today, I marked down a couple of items, knocked a few dollars off of some prices. And the reason I did that is because starting tomorrow, starting actually really at midnight tonight, You can get 20% off with the coupon code that'll be at the top of the page. That goes until Sunday at midnight. So this is the perfect time to save. We knocked the hoodies down to around $45. If you want to get a hoodie, have something for, you know, late spring or something to get ready for next year. We got a couple of the t-shirts, a couple of the caps that haven't really moved over in the last few months. We've knocked a couple of dollars off of those as well. So now's the time to really stock up and save big. Get all your merch and stuff in order and go over to iceguys.myspreadshop.com. And at midnight tonight, that coupon will be active for 20% off.
Starting at midnight tonight, 20% off. Iceguys.myspreadshop.com. Evan McLaren, great comment. Drake with no classics, Leafs with no modern era cups. Yeah.
And you know what? Today is May 2nd. On this day in 1967 was when the Leafs last won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. No question. And so it's been a while. 57 years, man. That's a hell of a drought. It's a hell of a drought. There's no doubt. Speaking of Evan McLaren, I always see him in the chat on Jimmy Murphy's show with Pierre Maguire, the eye test, which I try to tune in. I'm not in the chat much, but I do watch it. It's been great. I mean, you talk about just the nuts and bolts and the ins and outs and coaching strategies and philosophies and adjustments and just the guts of the playoff series. They go through it, Jimmy and Pierre, with the storylines. Their show's great. Make sure you're tuning in and giving them some support Monday to Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern time, the eye test, Jimmy Murphy, Pierre Maguire. And we're hoping to reconnect with our good friend Jimmy Murphy tomorrow on Beantown Friday on the Ice Guys show. So looking forward to that. And, of course, tomorrow we've got two big-time, big Game Sixes to look forward to, Dallas, Vegas, Vancouver, Nashville on tap tomorrow night. Looking forward to that. By the way, there is a distinct possibility that if the Leaf season does come to an end tonight, we won't have a show Saturday, believe it or not. We'll be off. There'll be no hockey on Saturday. So keep that in mind. So there is the potential that we are not here with you on Saturday. We'd only be here if there's a game seven with Boston and Toronto. But again, that is to be determined. So we'll keep an eye on that. If we have the show or not, it'll be obviously based on what happens tonight. All right. We'll be back with Bargain Bin Special of the Night and Best Bets coming up in just a moment, right after we hear from our great sponsors.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Boston and Pink, check them out. 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, Bargain Bin Special of the Night. Obviously, it comes from Bruins Leafs, the only game tonight. Alex, what do you like in the Bargain Bin?
We talk about it all the time. We talk about how teams have killer instinct and how they have players that just step up in these big-time moments and deliver. And we've seen it quite often with the Boston Bruins. And one of their key players for years and years has been Brad Marchand. The reason he has that C on his chest, he's been one of their just heart and soul leaders for over a decade now. I expect him to get not one, but two goals tonight. This number has moved. I actually got it at 20-1. You can find it now at FanDuel around 18-1. Seen some 16-1 there as well. I like Brad Marchand to get two goals here for Boston tonight. I think he's going to be a big catalyst towards them possibly winning this game and wrapping the series up.
Incredible. Brad Marchand over 1.5 goals. It's the same damn bargain bin that I have.
No shit. Wow.
No shit. Wow. And I agree with it fully. This guy, and he did not have a good game five. It wasn't just the whole Bruins. He did not have a good game five. He was very quiet. You know, he had that kind of embarrassing moment where the official takes him out and pushes him down to the ice. Like, everything was – that was not a Brad Marsh, prototypical Brad Marchand game in game five. Like, he was not – didn't do much offensively. You know, it wasn't one of his better games. The linesman ends up, you know, pushing him down to the ice like that. Everything went – seemed like it went against him. That was not the Brad Marchand we saw in game three and especially in game four in Toronto or at any point earlier in the series. I expect him to respond. He's the captain. He knows that was not good enough from the Boston Bruins on Tuesday night in game five. Leafs totally outplayed them, deserved the win. I expect a response from Brad Marchand, especially knowing that, hey, I'm the captain. I can't allow what happened last year against Florida to happen again. Not on my watch. Not with me wearing the C. That shit's not going to happen this year. And I don't know if it's going to mean that Brad Marchand scoring two goals means Bruins are going to win tonight.
Right.
But I do think he's got a great chance to not get just one, but two goals tonight. And over at FanDuel, you can get plus 1,800, 18 to 1 on Brad Marchand to score two goals tonight. So we're thinking along the same lines for the – I think this is the first time ever this season on the show, the very same bargain bin special for both Alex and I. Brad Marchand over 1.5 goals. Plus 1,800. I actually would have went with over 1.5 points, but it wasn't bargain bin price worthy. Right. The best price out there is plus 250 with that. Doesn't fit the criteria. I do like that, by the way, over 1.5 points as well. But it's got to hit the criteria of plus 300 or better. The goals prop does obviously clearly meet the criteria. 18 to 1. Brad Marchand over 1.5 goals for both Alex and me with the bargain bin special of the night. I think it's meant to be when we're both on it. Let's hope that's the case.
I hope so.
All right. Best bets. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Yeah, we're going to go with that BetMGM prop of team to score an empty net goal, Bruins plus 450. I mean, that is just absolutely insane. If we're talking about a 3-2 or a 4-2 Boston lead, you know Wall's going to be out of there. Keith's not going to screw around. I think he's going to pull a Jim Hiller and wait till, you know, the exact 1 minute remaining announcement in the arena. So to get plus 430 for something that could be a high possibility. Give me the Bruins to get an empty net goal there as my best bet tonight.
All right, Boston Bruins to get an empty net goal for Alex B. Smith with his best bet. Remember, he cashed a very similar type of bet with Carolina Kakalaki there on Tuesday night. So Bruins to get an empty netter, best bet for Alex B. Smith. My best bet, it's also a Boston bet, but it's Boston to score first period, minus 145. At BetMGM, I think it's the best bet on the board, side or total pregame for this one. We've seen this repeatedly. Team that lost the previous game has a strong start, comes out of the gate hot, firing the puck on net, and in most instances, finding the back of the net in the first period. Vegas off a loss last night in the first period scores a goal. LA off a loss in the first period last night scores a goal. And this has been a profitable angle most of this first round. I think it's profitable again tonight. Boston to score in the first period, minus 145 for my best bet for this game six tonight with the Bruins and the Leafs. All right, that's a wrap for this edition of the show. Hit the like button on the way out. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. For Alex B. Smith and Matt Robinson, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Thursday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we are back with you tomorrow on a Beantown Friday edition of the Ice Guys.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs,
Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.